This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
To WorldCast episode 13, a WCCW review, and we're looking at episode 21, and that's May 15th, 1982. And of course, I'm along for this journey with my friend Kelly Nelson and Johnny Sorrow. Kelly, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. This is quite the journey.
Johnny, how's the journey coming along for you, brother?
Your friend Kelly Nelson and Johnny Sorrow? Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Jesus Christ.
And the other guy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The one we won't mention.
Chris Benoit?
Okay, so you're doing okay, besides your feelings hurt?
No, I was like, okay, whatever. No, I'm doing fine.
That's good. All right, man, we're right into this. And I gotta say, this was a pretty flat episode after coming off that pretty hot finish. And, you know, the whole part of episodic wrestling is to keep you excited. And I'm excited, and then, then I just, nothing really really interested me here. Nothing, it was just kind of flat show overall, but hey, let's get into it. We open up with old Dusick versus Mike Bond. What are your thoughts here, Kelly?
Well, according to Mark Lorenz, Dusick considers himself one of the greatest criminal minds in the world. Which, where did that come from? What is he, Lex Luthor?
He's going to tear at the, when his run is over. He'll finally rip his wig off.
Dusick's gonna try to buy Australia.
Yeah, he's a bad guy wrestler, but he's not really a criminal.
He's a Batman villain. Captain Frank Dusick, the greatest criminal mind in Gotham.
Strange, but Dusick, he's so much like Buddy Rose. He really soaked it in when he went to Portland a couple of years before this. But he's just nowhere near as crisp in his execution as Buddy, but he's patterned his most of his gimmick after the man, obviously.
He has a lot of his mannerisms.
Yeah, the mannerisms, the robe, physically, of course, he's very similar to Rose. This turned out to be a pleasantly competitive little match. Mike Bond, who is kind of now like, you know, the resident jobber for World Class. I wasn't expecting too much out of him, but he got a shine. He got the crowd behind him. And yeah, but Dusick finished him off with a DDT that, of course, is not named as such yet. Actually, Lorenz called it a suplex.
It's a suplex. What a suplex. The Dusick suplex. Oof.
Right, because he was throwing all kinds.
That's what they call. I think they called Rick Rude's DDT in '86 a front face suplex. So hey, it still hasn't evolved much over the years.
If they don't know what it is, just call it a suplex.
Basically, it was okay. Like I said, I was pleasantly surprised that it turned out to be kind of competitive.
Yeah, solid bout. What about you, Johnny?
Young Bond. I was going to make the Mike Bland joke, but I was like, but he's pretty good worker. But apparently he's got a spiffy new jacket. And it's red, white, and blue. And it's brand new. And it looks like it was made of, out of the leftover material from Kathy Lee Crosby's Wonder Woman outfit from the 70s. Remember that one? The one she was blonde.
Deep dive.
But anyone who does know that will enjoy that. All three of you. Now, what they've been promising us this first match ever of Fritz Von Erich and hyping the shit out of it for 2 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, it's excerpts. And he goes, oh, we have excerpts of I'm like, wait, you motherfucker, after 2 weeks of hype. Now it's excerpts. You fuck you. And we'll get to that. And then there's
And switch.
Oh, boy.
Not even his first ever match either.
We'll get to it. I didn't know that part, but oh, that just adds. But they cut to this little old lady sitting there in the crowd, and I started putting together a little backstory here, and I've got that's Bond's mom, and this show is on a Sunday, and he's always been a good all-American church-going young lad, but he wants to pursue his dream of being a professional wrestler, and they don't approve. And he's out there wrestling on the Lord's Day, and this is his big chance with his new jacket. And he looks out in the crowd, and there's his mom. She left church, and she's there to cheer on her All-American. So I am selling this to the Hallmark Channel big time, because then he has a good fucking match. He's good. And they have a fun little match, and he looks like he can win. And but if he loses, and that just is a perfect little ending for the movie. And then I'm like, the only thing I got is suplex. Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, not to poke holes in your fanfic.
My holes? Fanfic? No, this is my pitch. Hallmark Channel will buy this.
Hallmark Channel pitch, but in Dallas, they very rarely wrestle on Sundays.
So. Well, we could change that. Who gives a shit?
I'm just throwing it out there to give it authenticity.
Okay, well, maybe, I got it. They're Seventh-day Adventists, and they celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. Hey!
There you go. Save. Then we get a promo with Magic Dragon and Armand Hussein. Johnny, what were you thinking?
Is it true he has an illegal weapon? What the fuck kind of question is that to ask? what do you think he's going to say? Yes? Come on. Now it's Magic Dragon. Is this just Dragon up to now? But now he's got Magic Dragon. And by the way, get used to a lot of Magic Dragon coming up. Because eventually he's going to meet his arch nemesis, Checkmate. And you're going to like a lot of that. Ugh. And Magic Dragon is a trendsetter because he apparently is the first wrestler I've ever seen with a fanny pack. first one, man, he set that trend right there. And apparently, they're saying his parents are ashamed of him, and that's why he wears a mask. I was like, what are they ashamed of? The fact that when he wrestles, he screams like a little girl? He runs into people. Just ashamed. Now I'm just getting straight into the match, so I'll stop. So.
What do you think of the promo?
Honestly, I didn't make any notes of it, so let's go straight into this match with Dragon and, Ken Mantell. So it's Dragon and Ken Mantell. This was an interesting little match. A lot of stuff going on that I made notes of, not necessarily the action in the ring. We have the old lady in blue. We still haven't come up with a witty name for yet. Who's always prancing around and getting up pretty, dangerously close to the ring. And then she goes back to like midway up. There were some interesting fans at ringside. One teenager had a Gary Hart fan club shirt on.
Really? I didn't see
that. Yeah, one of those ones you could just.
Well, make. I wish I had that shirt because I was missing Gary Hart. It's a big difference not having him and having Hussein carry his segment.
Could you imagine walking into that fucking place with those motherfuckers and you're wearing a Gary Hart fan club T-shirt?
Yeah,
I'll guarantee he wasn't wearing at the end of the show.
Maybe he could handle himself. I mean, he has some buddies. You know what? All the Asian kids in his school are hanging around with him, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. There was a group of girls at ringside that had a ghetto blaster that I think were maybe recording the matches. That's what it seemed like they were doing, which is kind of quaint. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, total early 80s type thing.
Okay, Kelly, did you ever own a ghetto
blaster? Yes, I did, yeah. And I recorded, TV shows, movies, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I had one.
Yeah, I had a ghetto blaster, too. It was like, I never used it. It was just a waste of space.
I
guarantee you had one, right?
I had one that never to the size of what they got to. You know, ridiculous. Not Radio Raheem, you know, thing. But, you know. My first big enough one, you know, it was awesome. It was 1983, and first thing I bought with it when I got it was Def Leppard Pyromania, and I walked around the Jersey Shore blasting that shit like a motherfucker.
Oh, awesome. Technically, it was a fine match, but I just can't get into anything with Ken Mantell involved. He's just... I just can't stand him. I can't believe how much I dislike the guy. Anyway, but I mean, to his credit, he put over Dragon super strong here, and Dragon with his lethal leg sleeper, which is kind of cool. Dragon's got the body of a jobber. He's so tiny and scrawny, but I like the mask, of course, and then the screaming is kind of reminds me of like Killer Khan. But we'll see how this goes going forward. But I kind of like the leg sleeper as a unique finisher that nobody else has. That's cool.
Yeah, I hate both these. And the only thing I got out of the match that I enjoyed was I loved Dragon's rolling head scissors.
Yeah,
and here's the thing about the head scissors, because earlier. Maybe during the interview portion, Lorenz says a line that didn't make sense. He's like, he doesn't say leg. He says his special sleeper, the sleeper hold, which some say is illegal and some say is not. I was like, well, which one is it? And then they show what it is. He rolls the guy while he's doing it, and the ref can't keep his eyes on it, and they do that. He does that for a few seconds until the guy's incapacitated, and then he does it without it being a choke. And I'm like, oh, okay, that I get it now. So that's the cool part.
do you have any thoughts on that?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit more. This isn't just Ken Mantell, man, because remember he was all red, white, and blue before? Now he's all in black. He's Hollywood Ken Mantell out there, and he means business. And I maybe it was just because I was pretty fucking high. I at one point went, this is pretty good. And I started hating myself that I thought this was good. Because I hate Ken Mantell just as much as Kelly does, and Magic Dragon isn't any great shakes. But I was like, this is a pretty decent match, I thought, they put together here. But who knows?
That never crossed my mind.
Wow. I'm never going to go back and test my theory, but I just remember having to write, I'm enjoying a Ken Mantell match. Fuck me.
And that leads us to a Wild Bill Irwin versus Big Rick Harris, the future Black Bar.
Yeah.
And this was kind of interesting in a way. Like, I felt like they were teasing something here. Yeah. What you make of this, Kelly?
Yeah, well, we had like a wild fight right off the bat, and then it ended 43 seconds. Yeah,
but didn't old Rick Harris pops up real quick?
Yeah, exactly.
Do a little stare down.
Maybe there's more to this in the future. I don't know, but yeah, I was excited by the beginning, but yeah, it ended really quick. with that awkward dive that Irwin does off the top rope, where he barely makes contact.
It's the hair.
He's always way too, like, the wrestler's way too far for him, for his leap. But yeah, interesting. I mean, Irwin's getting the monster killer push here, still continuing.
Yeah, what about
you? Yeah, it's okay. You just blew my mind and answered a lot of questions, maybe, but because all I had was, oh, good, a jobber match. This show needs jobber matches because otherwise it's a never-ending mix of the same six dudes. You know, give me some fucking jobber matches. Great. And then I'm like, well, that guy's pretty big, and they're pounding it out, and boom, it's over. And then I'm like, wait, the job guy just fucking no-sold the finish. What the fuck's going on here? And but you're saying, oh, this is the future Black Bart, so maybe there is something here. You know, because he becomes a mainstay around there, you know, at some point or another. But wow, I had no idea. All I thought was, like, why did this jobber fucking no sell the finish?
He's our world class. He's our first champion after they break away from the NWA.
No,
Rick Rude was.
It was Rick Rude.
Oh no, Rude was. That's right. Rick Rude. But he's the world class champion in 80s.
He gets it.
Yeah,
and these two guys team in Global like 10 years later, as the Wild Bunch or something like that. Something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
That's probably about right.
Yeah,
neat.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And then we get a promo, Johnny.
Oh.
Our boy, Armand Hussein, oh. And he's with Bundy McGraw.
Okay. Oh, fuck. Okay, so yeah. And Bundy's puffing on a cigar, and, you know, and he says some shit, and Hussein says, apparently, the tag team championships have changed. these things bounce around like 1998, whatever, WCW. Constant. And,
I'm utterly confused because later on, no one has
that. Yeah, I have no idea.
And then I'm thinking, when they say lost it, I thought maybe they legitimately lost it.
Or they just don't have
tag. Who the fuck told Kerry to be the one to carry around the belts?
Yeah.
He left him somewhere again.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but he's going on that the belts were stolen from him, that it was a thievery going on. And he's going to take it all the way to The Hague. I'm like, yeah. And then Bugsy McGraw cuts the greatest goddamn promo I have heard in the longest time. This is an unearthed classic that I feel is up there with Hard Times and those fully ECW ones. This is fucking great. And I, if I may, I'm just going to read, I had to write the entire thing down. So I literally watched this for a half an hour. it's about the thief stealing, stolen thief. If the illusion seems real, let it take you for a ride. If the thunder has appeal, you understand, bring it by your side. The wonderland at the southwest, or whatever you want to call it, Martha's Boys, Joe and Harry Freeman Coliseum, is not, you understand, is not my reality. And thieves, you understand, will suffer the consequences of the law, but the wrath of our desires. I really like desire. It just wells up inside of me and makes me. What does it make you, Bugsy? Crazy. Fucking, it was awesome. Awesome. Bugsy McGraw is a national treasure. And that's all I got to say about that.
Johnny Sorrow, star of Anything Goes. Yeah. that's chops right there, man. Wow. no, not really. I love Bundy smoking a cigar lit by Hussein. You know, he's just loving, you know, his life where he went for the money. He betrayed the Von Erichs for the dollar. And
who'd you rather hang out with? Gary Hart, this rich guy who's lighting your fucking smokes, this crazy maniac who's a lot of fun, and or the fucking Von Erichs and be going to church and shit.
Exactly. No, he made the correct choice. I mean, who doesn't want cigars lit by Hussein? The look on Bundy's face while Bugsy was talking was priceless.
It's the best. Bundy has a look on his face like, what the fuck is he talking about? But he's fantastic.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite memories of Bundy during this run is his just like chewing the scenery up, you know?
Yeah, basically.
Well, I think we know who is chewing the scenery in this goddamn scene.
And that leads us into Fritz Von Erich's first match. Or was it? Or is it? He's labeled as Jack Atkins.
Yeah.
So they had to explain that to the
people. And then they had a graphic. A little graphic came up. You know, it says, Jack Atkins became Fritz Von Erich, and then fades away.
what would you make of this, Kelly?
This was interesting. I think this may be on the WWE World Class DVD or clips from it. I know I've seen highlights of this match before. No, it's not Fritz's first match. It's maybe his first televised match, or the first match that there's footage of. That's probably true. I had to look up, you know, and check the accuracy of that.
It's already starting.
You know, pretty bold claim here. So, And I was also interested in who he was wrestling. He was wrestling Ellis Basara.
Basara.
Yeah. Who had been wrestling apparently since 1933. And so this, as far as I can tell, was 1953. And according to wrestling data, they wrestled on May 26th in Dallas and June the 8th in San Antonio. So it's possibly one of those matches. Fritz's first match, according to wrestling data, was September 4th, 1952. So, yeah, it's technically, it's definitely not his first match. But like I said, quite possibly the first Fritz match that we have footage of. So he's very young here, for sure. Got great punches. I really liked his punches in this one. And he does a clean job. And they showed this on TV.
He fucking loses.
Which is strange. Really strange. Yep. Like the god of Texas wrestling. Here he is losing to some guy you've never heard of. cleanly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really weird.
And they allowed him, and they gave him his name.
Yeah, that. I couldn't believe that. Yeah, I was wondering. Like, I think that was kind of well known in certain circles, maybe by that time.
I think it was well known enough to like hardcore fans because he was on the 700 Club.
And yeah,
he introduces Jack Atkinson. A lot.
Yeah, I think that was.
But still, and just I would have gone with the silent film, and none of his names would ever have been announced. No, so.
Just in case they're going for that small segment that goes, wasn't he a Nazi?
yeah. It was weird.
When the
announcers talking about them having football backgrounds, and I was like, don't let people at PWO see this shit. Fucking bitch about talking about their football backgrounds. But he also has the great line, instead of rule breaker, I've never heard this one, he's calling Basara a roughhouse wrestler.
Yeah.
It's hard to handle these roughhouse wrestlers. I was like, that's cool. That's a cool term, especially for a guy who looks like fucking Super Mario. Man. And he moves like Super Mario. He's got some fucking moves, that old fat motherfucker. And Fritz fucking loses, okay? And they go back to Lorenz, who says, there you got to see. Versus an opponent who will one day fall to the great Fritz Von Erich.
Right.
I'm like, what the? You want to talk about bait and switch? This is just bait and switch, man. This is, did Fritz say, I have an idea, find some footage, and this is the best they could come up with? And he has to finish off like, but don't worry, eventually he can kick that guy's ass. What the fuck is this? If you could have said, have Fritz narrate it and be like, and you know, when you're young and in the business, you're not going to win them all or something like that. This is insanity.
And that segs us into the main event of Bundy and McGraw versus Spoiler and Al Madrill. Kelly, what were you looking at here? What tickled your fancy?
Well, they hyped this as a title match, I believe, but I don't think it was. I don't know. Like it.
I didn't see any belts. That's why I thought when they said they lost.
Who can tell?
Lost the belt.
Yeah.
Who can tell at this point? Because then they keep talking about winning them and losing them, and Lorenz doesn't have it straight either.
Yeah. Well, going back to wrestling data again, according to that site, Bundy and Bugsy were the champions at this time. Okay. So we'll go with that. But nobody is 100% sure. Madrill and the Spoiler. This on paper, this could have been, or I thought it would be a pretty exciting match. Didn't really turn out that way. I do like Madrill's headlock punches that he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he does the rapid fire punches. I like that. I've kind of, Madrill's kind of become like the Dom of world class for me, I think. Dominic Nucci. I'm kind of,
wow. Wow, that's quite the electric group.
Yeah, well, I compared him to Tito Santana last time and now DiNucci. I've kind of embraced him that way. There were some stiff shots laid out by pretty much all the guys in this match. Spoiler. Like, I mean, I think now that they have the camera so close, you know, they know that they have to lay him in a bit harder, perhaps.
It's just their excuses for beating up Al, because you may like him, but I don't think anyone else does.
Yeah, I guess I'm the lone. I need a Al Madrill fan club shirt made ASAP.
You know what? I'm going to make one and have it sent to you. I promise.
What I got out of this was, like, the crowd was totally into the spoiler. Like, he came across like the biggest star here. And I enjoyed the spoiler Bundy interactions. Like, I need, again, want to see more of that. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts?
Now, Manelli stinks, again. But he does have he does have one little bit I like. Because when he inevitably has Hussein come over and yell at him, he says, thank you, and leaves. That's the only good, funny bit he has whatsoever. So he does that here. So good on him. And holy fucking shit. Fuck. Going back to this whole shitting on Bundy for his sound fucking decision. Get this from Mark Lawrence's lips. Fritz took him in when he was, Fritz took him in when he was hungry, out of work. Didn't have $50 to his name. I'm like, fuck you. This is Fox News style bullshit, spin bullshit. Okay? Go fuck yourself. This just gets worse and worse.
That's how you really feel.
It's the worst. I'll move on to something that's awesome. Bugsy is in his tie-dyed tights that he made at camp. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's that. Look, I know from tie-dye, okay? And there's that starter tie-dye you do at camp, and it's all one color, and his choice is green. And I'm like, damn it, dig those tie-dye tights. And Bugsy rules in this match. And once again, going back to how nobody likes Al, spoiler really doesn't like Al. We saw last week he purposely got himself tied in the ropes while they stiffed the fuck out of him. And the finish to this was kind of fucked up. Like, spoiler kind of fucked it up for Al. He hates Al. He's never there for Al. He does not like him. To the point where I'm like, is this going to be an angle at some point? Because otherwise, Al has his fans. Kelly. You know,
right here.
Screaming chicks. Yeah, gotcha, man. The screaming chicks. That one young Mexican lad. But the spoiler is not one of them. And that's that. And then just real quick, they're hyping the next week that there's going to be a lumberjack. Here's how they hype a lumberjack match. Is next week we've got a lumberjack match and Kevin Von Erich is involved. How?
Can't miss that, folks.
He could be, based on what you did with that Fritz footage, is he a lumberjack? Fuck you.
Well, on that note, man, let's wrap this show up. Pretty lackluster episode of the footage we watched.
Yeah.
But, man, let's just close down shop. Johnny, where can people find you?
You can find all of us and give us your feedback. We'll get it on the air for you on Twitter at TitansOWrestling at Twitter.
Awesome. Kelly, what about you, man?
Place to Be Nation, as I always say. I'm there. I'm doing the Place to Be podcast. I'm doing Mount Olympus. I'm doing this show, of course. And yeah, you can't get enough of Kelly Nelson, that's for sure.
There you go. Yeah, that's our tagline.
And follow me also on This Week in Wrestling. Guys, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on. And and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. Like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.